hello. There is a lot of entertainment being offered at the moment, isn't there?
Like a visual entertainment, art galleries opening their doors and showing everyone what's inside from all over the world. It's absolutely fascinating. I'm loving the Victoria and Albert Museum at the moment and the British Museum and the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam. I'm really loving it, and I'm loving the shows must go on as well. We've just finished watching Phantom of the Opera, which is my absolute 100% favourite musical ever written and performed, and it was mind-blowing. So I'm really, really so in awe of all these artists coming together and creating gigs online and creating these beautiful shows for us to watch and to really be entertained in our own homes while we are self-quarantining and staying safe. And staying at home and staying safe and being good.
Yeah, so we basically watched, 8 hours of musicians followed by almost 3 hours of the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, because we watched the global...
The one from America. Come together concert. Together at home.
Yeah, together at home. Oh, yeah. God, sorry. Sorry to anyone out there who really loves it. Didn't mean to disrespect it at all because it was... brilliant. And thank you so much to Lady Gaga for putting it all together.
Much respect.
Indeed.
But we're here to talk about history, aren't we?
We're here to talk about strange and unusual things that have happened in history.
Indeed we are. So we probably should stop waffling.
We should.
Have that nice little gap so I know where to put the theme music and then we can get started again.
Don't give everyone our trade secrets.
Are there any secrets, really?
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 Really? We don't really have any secrets, honestly. Anyway, time for a pause.
What the?
History, 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 history.
Hello and welcome to What the History, the podcast with bite-sized bits of history to make you say, what the history?
Tiny little bits of history.
I am Trevor Holland and I am joined by...
Susie Holland.
And hello. Also got the cat here, so you may hear a meow and scratching when he decides he wants to leave.
Our cat is Raphael Buchanan Stimpson Hades Holland. For everyone out there, that he has wonderful names because he is a wonderful cat. Aren't you, sweetheart? Yes, you are. We love our cat.
We do indeed. And we also love history, so
we do.
What history do you have for us this time, Susie?
Well, thank you. My subject on today's What the History has been called not only the worst poet in the English language, but also the Mr. Bean of the Scottish cultural scene. The Tayside Tragedian and the Bard of Dundee were his other monikers, as well as Sir Topas Knight of the White Elephant, which he presumed was from the King of Burma, but it was probably a hoax, but one he was happy to carry for the rest of his life. His name was the inspiration of a Harry Potter character, and I'm speaking of none other than William Topas, yes, that's his real middle name, McGonagall, one of Scotland's best-known poets. William was born in Ireland, though he did like to say that he was born in Scotland around 1825, possibly to remove the stigma of being an Irish immigrant. He became a hand loom weaver, like his father Charles. The family had settled in Dundee by this time, and William was apparently quite good at his job. When the Industrial Revolution was gaining speed, William's skills were still in demand due to his ability to perform complex tasks. He had married Jean King, a spinner from Stirling, and he had children who also followed him into the textile-making trade. William even tried his hand at acting, playing the title role in Macbeth. However, William believed that the actor playing opposite him as Macduff was continually trying to upstage him and refused to die on stage at Macduff's hand as per the script, much to the confusion of the crowd and the anger of the other actors. This wasn't the first time that playing to the crowd was going to make him infamous. As far as William was concerned, he was a working-class actor turned headliner in the local theatre scene. In the 1870s, there was a drop in demand for textile goods as Dundee fell into a recession after the Franco-Prussian War, when William suddenly felt the urge to write poetry, telling people of the voice in his head, telling him to write, write! And write he did for the next 25 years of his life. In 1877, when William was 52, he wrote anonymously to the local paper, the Dundee Weekly News, with a poem titled Address to Reverend George Gilfillan, the local vicar. The final four lines of the poem read, and I quote, Rev. George Gilfillan of Dundee, I must conclude my muse, and to write in praise of thee my pen does not refuse. Nor does it give me pain to tell the world fearlessly that when you are dead, they shall not look upon your like again. End quote. I get the feeling that William was attempting to test the waters for his poetry, and the editor of the newspaper declared apparently jokingly that the writer and I quote, modestly seeks to hide his light under a bushel, end quote. William thought this to be a glowing endorsement of his poetry and went on to give public performances of his works. He was even paid 5 to 15 shillings a reading, in which people threw dead fish, rotting vegetables, eggs, and jeered at his works. William was quite upset when the authorities put a stop to the readings, as they were getting a lot of unwanted attention. A member of the temperance movement, he performed in pubs while campaigning, some would say ranting, against the demon drink. His audience loved it. However, the publicans didn't, and he was told not to return. His source of revenue drying up, William and his family were supported by benefactors and friends. William became the butt of hoaxes, and this is where Sir Topas, Knight of the White Elephant of Burma, comes into the picture, as the title was supposedly given to him by King Thibaw Min of Burma. Whether or not William knew this to be a joke is unknown, but he used the title on his letterhead from then on. William even sent some of his poetry to Queen Victoria, asking for her patronage, to which he received a letter back written by one of her secretaries, basically saying, thanks, but no thanks. William took this as a positive affirmation of his work when in 1878 he travelled from Dundee to Balmoral Castle, some 60 miles away, to perform for the Queen, where, after he announced himself as the Queen's poet, he was advised Her Majesty was not in residence and was turned away. Undeterred, William wrote his first poetry pamphlet titled Poetical Pieces, Poems and Songs by William McGonagall, Poet to Her Majesty, contained a poem in it called The Railway Bridge of the River Silvery Tay, written in 1878 in honour of the bridge opening. Unfortunately, that same bridge fell down during a heavy storm on the 28th of December 1879, killing all 75 people on board a travelling train from Edinburgh. William felt the need to commemorate this awful event, writing a poem in 1880 aptly titled The Tay Bridge Disaster. It was this poem which cemented William's poetry infamy as the worst poet in the English language, as it, while it was intended to be serious and emotionally driven, seemed to have the opposite effect due to his, shall we say, way with words, which were, and I quote, being deaf to poetic metaphor and employing inappropriate rhythms that resulted in unintentionally amusing poetry, end quote. A trip to America in 1887 was undertaken by William in an effort to embed his poems in the small stages and music halls of New York City. However, in the entire 6 weeks he was there, there were no buyers for his words or his performances. William even hawked his poems on the streets to no avail, and he returned to Scotland. Unable to sell his poems in either America, Dundee, or Perth, and with his public performances banned and not being in the best of health, William moved himself and his family to Edinburgh in 1894, where he was more celebrated due to his way of wordsmithing. He was celebrated and called on by Dracula author Bram Stoker and stage actor Sir Henry Irving. Unfortunately, he was not having any luck in selling his poetry to support himself and Jean, with all their children having left home except one child. William was living off his benefactors and friends and died penniless of a cerebral hemorrhage, a type of stroke, on September 2nd, some sources say September 26th or 29th, 1902 in Edinburgh. He is buried in an unmarked grave in Greyfriars Kirkyard, where there is a plaque near the site which says, "William McGonagall, poet and tragedian, died 2nd of September 1902, buried near this spot." And the epitaph reads, "I am your gracious majesty, ever faithful to thee, William McGonagall, the poor poet who lives in Dundee," in reference to William's poems he wrote in 1877, titled "A Requisition to the Queen," which he included when he was seeking the Queen's patronage. J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter, used to ponder her characters and take walks through the kirkyard. When she came upon William's plaque and named one of my favourite characters, Professor Minerva McGonagall, after him. A further travel through the kirkyard also reveals other names of Harry Potter, such as Thomas Riddle, Elizabeth Moody, who inspired the name Alastor Mad-Eye Moody. I've actually been to this kirkyard and it is absolutely beautiful. In undertaking research for this podcast, I have read a few of William's poems, and I have to say, I like them. There's plenty to read, and William wrote 258 poems in total. Sure, they don't follow seamlessly, and they can be amusing, unintentional or not, and I think that's why he wasn't known as a great person of literature. But they convey imagery to the reader, and I think that's what's important. In my studies, I came across a poem called Women's Suffrage in 1884, which is in part, and I quote, "Fellow men, why should the lords try to despise and prohibit women from having the benefit of the parliamentary franchise? When they pay the same taxes as you and me, I consider they ought to have the same liberty," end quote. Now, art is subjective, and what someone thinks is a rubbish work, another person can think that the work is worthy of time and attention. Interestingly, the poems no one wanted to buy in the late 1800s, 35 of these poems fetched £6,600 in 2008, snapped up by a private collector in Edinburgh. William is also celebrated in Dundee with McGonagall Square and various events to commemorate his life and poetry both there and in Edinburgh. His work has been parodied and popularised by Terry Pratchett, The Goon Show, Monty Python and The Muppets. Now, William Topaz McGonagall, a man of confidence, pride and self-promotion, a narrator of what you saw and felt. Welcome to What the History. You have gained my time and attention.
Lovely. And that suffragette poem, I quite like that too.
There is a whole lot of that poem. That was just a tiny little amount. His poems, they're not little, they're very, very long. They're like, you know, 10 stanzas in some. Absolutely amazing. And yes, that suffragette poem is absolutely one of my favourites. It's celebrating women and that they should have the same rights. And this was back in the late 1800s.
Yep.
You know, years before the suffragette movement. So yes, William McGonagall. Hell yeah, man. You keep doing you, boo.
Absolutely, and I'm sure he obviously has had an ongoing influence.
Mm-hmm.
And as we saw from, the people that have referenced him, that influence still goes on today.
That's
much
right.
Like my topic.
That was not the best segue.
Look at your subject, look at my subject. It's not an easy segue, let's face it.
Okay, all right. Okay. Over to you, sir. Over to you.
Excellent. So, why mince words? Rasputin. Good old Grigori Rasputin. Known far and wide as the Mad Monk, famed in history, myth, and song. Rah, rah, indeed. True, I could probably make an extremely what the story from his life and death alone. Talk about all the rumours about him and various royal ladies. Discuss his death and examine if he was super resistant to cyanide or if his assassin suffered from bungling ineptitude. The list goes on and, to be honest, has been rather well covered over the years. Instead, I would like to focus on Rasputin's influence on the movie industry, or rather, the impact one of his assassins had, which is still being felt over 100 years after his death. So, to give a quick summary, in December 1916, the aristocrat Prince Felix Yusupov invited Rasputin to a party at his palace. he accompanied the mad monk to the cellars, where, according to his memoirs, Felix had laid out tables of sweets and made sure the place was rocking by having Yankee Doodle playing on the gramophone. Felix, and a cadre of other nobles, fed Rasputin cakes laced with potassium cyanide and laced his wine with even more cyanide, which, surprisingly, had no effect on Rasputin. Felix finally shot the monk, who promptly gave chase. When Rasputin stumbled, the nobles took to him with knives before finally throwing him in the river. It is reported when the body was recovered a few days later, the cause of death was noted as drowning. Okay, what does this have to do with movies, I hear you ask? Well, buckle in. Felix got off the murder charge pretty lightly by being sent into exile with his wife, Princess Irina. This also meant they got out of Russia shortly before the revolution that would see the death of the Tsar and his family. Felix published his memoirs to try to capitalize on his infamy, but by the 1930s he was living in near poverty in Paris. The story of Rasputin remained too juicy to be left alone. In 1932, MGM released a blockbuster titled Rasputin and the Empress, starring John Barrymore as Prince Paul Chigodiff, who was very clearly based on Felix. Felix was reportedly not very pleased about this, but could do very little about the allegations being levelled about his role in the murder of Rasputin, seeing he had provided very specific details of the killing in his own autobiography. However, the movie was pretty lax in its accuracy in other areas, particularly a scene where Chigodiff's wife, Princess Natasha, in the movie, is hypnotized and raped by Rasputin. As there was a clear association between Chigodiff and Felix, the assumption was made that a similar line could be drawn between the character of Natasha and Felix's wife Irina, who had never met Rasputin. This was used as a basis of a defamation suit against MGM in 1933. After the court battle, Irina was found to have been defamed and was awarded a sum of $127,000, which would equate to approximately $2.4 million today. Obviously, the studios would want to avoid these sort of battles going forward, which is why you can see the legacy of this case in every movie since. So next time you are watching a movie, settle down and keep an eye on the credits. At some point, scrolling up the screen, you will see the legacy of Felix, Irina, and Rasputin when the following words appear. Quote, "This is a work of fiction. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events, is purely coincidental." End quote. What the history?
Absolutely. I was wondering where all that came from. I mean, I've been looking at it, years ago, before you and I met, obviously. Yeah, and, what happened to make that appear there? I thought it might have to be something pretty big. And, it is pretty big.
Mm-hmm. I like when it appears at the end of true stories as well. That's always quite amusing.
It's a coincidental true story.
Yes, indeed. Well, they always say based on a true story, don't they? They never really say this is a story.
Oh, gosh. That could open a whole can of worms.
It could indeed. And if you would like to open a can of worms, you can read more about our topics. That was a much better segue. By checking our references down below, where we've got links to all our source material for this episode. And if you head to the Rufus Project Presents homepage, you can find all our previous episodes with all the appropriate links to all those topics as well.
That's right. And you can find all of William's poems as well. And people that like William as well. Yes, I do.
Indeed.
Yeah. Some people, really like him. Some people don't really like him, but each to their own, and beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Very, very true. So again, if you have enjoyed these topics and you want to read more, you know where to look. If you want to hear more of what we've done, head to the Rufus Project Presents homepage or find the What the History podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or or your favorite podcast app.
Absolutely.
Now,
come join us.
Indeed. And if you want to get in touch with us, that's very easy as well. You can find What the History very easily on Facebook. We have an Instagram account. If you follow that, you'll get daily history facts.
Absolutely. They're really interesting. Tiny little bits of history that, a lot of people are really getting into.
Yeah, it's great fun.
I'm having a great time.
Or you can send us an email to wthpod@rufusproject.com and we'd certainly love to hear from you. If you want to get a bit more involved, the Rufus Project Presents also has a Patreon page at patreon.com/rufusproject, where if you sign up for that, you'll get early access to the episodes of What the History and our other podcast redeeming features, as well as extra audio and video content. So please become an awesome friend of ours and help to support the podcasts and the people involved running them.
Absolutely. And thank you for the people who have joined. It's great to have you aboard.
Thank you so very much. And I'll probably do our first shout out to Mark. Thank you for subscribing.
Thank you, Mark.
He paid enough to get a shout out.
Woo-hoo! You too can get a shout out.
Indeed.
It goes all over the world.
Woo-hoo!
Could even go to the Mune. The Mune.
The Mune.
That's where Mewtwo lives. He lives in the Mune. Yep. We watched one of the Pokemon movies last night.
Yeah, we did.
I should say, I'll just start this again. It could even go to the moon. As long as one of the astronauts takes What the History all the way to the moon.
And if they do, I hope they tell us about it.
Yes, please do.
Anyway.
Link us up.
On that note, I think we may as well wrap this up now.
Yes, we're going to wrap it up now.
So thanks very much for listening. And we will return with two more bizarre bits of history to make you say,
What the history? Bye, everyone. Stay safe, hey? Stay indoors.
And farewell.